Hello, and welcome to Practical Significance, a podcast to inspire listeners with compelling stories from statistics and data science and to propel data-driven careers forward. Here are your hosts, the ASA's Director of Strategic Initiatives, Donna Lalonde, and Executive Director, Ron Wasserstein.
Welcome, everyone, to the November edition of Practical Significance. Actually, Ron and I are amazed that we've almost made it a year, and we are really grateful for the wonderful guests that we've had, and especially grateful for the two guests we have today. Davina Dragana and David Corliss are joining us. And so I'm going to start by turning it over to Davina and asking her to tell our listeners a little bit about herself.
Thank you. It's such an honor to be here. So I'm Davina Dragana. I'm the chair of Statistics Without Borders, and I'm really excited to be able to talk about some of our work and some of the opportunities to be involved with our projects today.
And Davina, you want to tell our listeners where you're coming to us from?
Absolutely. I'm calling in from very close to Oxford, England.
That's wonderful. We are super excited to be international now. And David Corliss, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Hi, my name is David Corliss. I lead an NGO called Peace Work. It works in data for good, and we coordinate getting people connected with projects. And it's a crowdsourcing kind of platform where people volunteer the amount of hours and resources they have available in analytics, and we get them connected with projects of their choosing. I also write an article on data for good for Amstat News that appears as a column each month.
Great. And David, in the spirit of covering geography, you want to tell us where you're coming to us from?
I'm from Plymouth, Michigan, which is very near Ann Arbor.
Thank you both. And again, we're delighted to have you on the podcast. Let's drill down a little bit into this service work, this volunteer work that you do by sharing a memorable project that you have worked on. David, let's start with you.
Well, one project that always comes to mind, I like to tell the story because it's really how I got involved in data for good. It was a project that I did for Habitat for Humanity. Now, I had been volunteering for Habitat for Humanity for many years at this point, but I began talking with a colleague of mine at work who also volunteered for the same Habitat for Humanity chapter. So we knew each other from both places. And they were interested in finding, well, like a lot of charities, interested in finding more donors and more volunteers. And I realized that while I could certainly bang nails for Habitat for Humanity, I had done that for some time, that I could make an even stronger contribution with my professional skills, my data and analytics skills as a data scientist. And so I did geographic cluster analysis. I divided communities in their particular area into different types and would advise them, go look in these communities for more donors, look in these places for people who can volunteer. And we ended up with a third cluster as well, which was the communities that were mostly populated by the kinds of people they were trying to serve. And so this little project in my spare time was really the start, my first Data for Good project. And honestly, I have to say, I've repeated this several times since then for other organizations, but it's been a really good way to get started.
That's fantastic. Thank you. How about you, Davina?
Absolutely. So we've done so many really interesting projects with Statistics Without Borders since I joined. I was elected as vice chair last year, and before that, I was on their client engagement committee. So I was really excited about doing some of this outreach with NGOs and trying to explain how statisticians, data analytics, all of us can help to contribute towards some of the work that NGOs on the ground are doing. Of course, my background is split between academia and NGOs myself. So I've been really adept at kind of navigating those spaces and building trust. One of the projects I always find our projects very interesting, but in particular, I love our animal-related projects. I just think it's an opportunity for me to work on something that's not necessarily human trafficking, which is my normal area of expertise. And we've done some interesting work on health issues in orangutan populations and border communities in Africa. And I think it's just been really exciting. We also just had a special edition come out in Chance that includes content from my colleague, David here, and also from Datakinds. And in that special edition, we go into depth a bit more about some key projects, and I won't spoil it for you, but looking at how we've used the really varied skill set of our very many volunteers to then try to help find opportunities for businesses during COVID, and just the application of statistics, it's endlessly fascinating to me, particularly when we think about it as data for good.
Thank you. And Donna and I can both highly recommend that special issue. So I hope people will hunt it down. Let me follow up with both of you, starting with Davina, about how this work that you do, this service work that you have done, has contributed to you, to your own professional development.
Well, thank you so much. It's a great question. I mean, look, it's contributed in a bunch of ways. So I think for many of us, we become siloed in the areas in which we're proficient, right? Like I work on risk modeling and human rights and modern slavery, which broadly speaking, actually does extend past beyond just modern slavery or just the direct implications of what I work on. But this has been really fascinating because it's not just an opportunity to engage with volunteers all around the world with really compelling skill sets, but it's also an opportunity to really explain, and this is the part that I think is fascinating, to really explain how we can use these skills to help NGOs. And so part of that is highlighting how I've used statistics in my own work, how that's informed policy decisions. It's also working directly with the NGO clients and explaining, hey, if you have this problem, this is what data can do for you. And it's amazing because they treat us like magicians, right? Like a lot of people don't realize that math can do all of the things that we are able to achieve with it. And so for me, it becomes a really exciting opportunity to just stretch the limits of what people think might be possible with our skill sets and to really make a difference in plenty of different domains and not just the ones that we have specific expertise in.
Thank you so much for that. David?
Now, in my particular case, I work in industry, and in particular, I work in the automotive industry. I work for Stellantis, where it's not much of a regulatory environment. It's not the sort of place where they're always out in the public. They tend to be very, very careful about the models and analytics they develop from a proprietary information sense. And so we really don't get out and about much. Volunteering in Data for Good then has put me in contact with people outside the company, has really brought me in contact with a world of people who want to do good things and use their professional analytic skills to do that. And so having that Data for Good connection has really brought me in contact with so many different people. It's enhanced my skills that I can use on the job. The odd thing is, although I was originally in academia, my PhD is in statistical astrophysics, and I work in industry, but the thing that I'm best known for, because astrophysics is a bit of an obscure field, and the automotive industry is tend to be pretty quiet about the kind of analytics, not a lot of public presentations or something like that. And so the thing that I've become best known for is my volunteer work. And it's the foundation of my reputation as a scientist. And it has done so much to put me in contact with other scientists, learning new skills, solving new problems, and is much more of a global activity that puts me in touch with a broader analytic community in a way that could never happen in my particular industry.
Thank you both. That's really fascinating. And I kind of want to follow up on that because one of the questions that Ron and I get a lot when we are talking with, especially our early career colleagues, is how do I volunteer? How do I get involved? You know, these are folks much like yourselves who have technical skills and they would love to give back to their community. And so I'd like to start with Davina and then go to David for some tips for folks who would like to become engaged in pro bono work, either through interacting with Statistics Without Borders and PeaceWorks or just other advice that you might have.
Yeah, absolutely. I would encourage them to reach out to us. We always have opportunities for volunteers. I think it's a great way to meet other people, to build portfolios of work that might extend the kinds of things that you're already doing. I think, yeah, we're working really hard to make sure that this is a positive experience for our volunteers. We really seek to engage and recognize their efforts. So I would recommend anyone that's interested to look up Statistics Without Borders and to reach out to us to volunteer.
And thanks, Davina. We can definitely put a link to SWB in the show notes to make it easy for folks to reach out. David, I know you offer lots of advice in your column in Amstat News, but share some of the highlights with us.
First thing first, though, I really have to echo what Davina just said. What a fabulous organization Statistics Without Borders is. They have great projects. They have an amazing staff of volunteers. They've got some people who are dedicated full-time to leading projects. And it's just a great opportunity. So when we talk about ways to get involved, everything Davina said, one of the things that I emphasize in getting involved, what I'll often tell people is, and it's why I like that story from Habitat for Humanity, got involved with a group that I was already connected to. You know, all of us are doing some kind of community service. You might be working at the animal shelter, walking the dogs. Well, what about an optimization analysis to see what's the best staffing priorities? Would it be better to have big events less often and pack the house in? Or would it be better to have a small staff that's continuously? These kinds of fundamental questions can be answered using analytics. Connect with an organization you're already involved in. You're volunteering at your kid's school. How can statistics and data science make an impact in that tremendously important work in education? We need to remember with any data science project is that it doesn't move at the speed of science. It moves at the speed of trust. Having that trusted relationship is absolutely essential to get the data science to work and to be adopted and put into place for the maximum benefit. And that's whether you're doing it professionally or on a volunteer basis. And so working with organizations who already know you, have an existing relationship, a relationship of trust, and that will drive the project that you can work on. One thing I should also mention is that more and more companies are actually beginning to do these kinds of activities through work. Now, once again, you know, you can get a team of people and you can go down to the soup kitchen and work there or pack boxes in the food pantry or something like that. There are a lot of common giving back to the community service activities that we find on the job. How do we make those data for good opportunities? As one example, the company where I work, we're planning a hackathon with the local United Way organization. And so I know some people that are involved there. We've got that connection. We have done things with them in the past. We just don't happen to have done data science for them. And now we're going to be using analytics in a hackathon setting for the local United Way. It could work with a lot of local charities, school districts, even government, whether you want to optimize use of city parks, for example, or forecast costs and expenditures to a financial analysis. So many things that can be done in the community through work. Many, many opportunities at most large companies and most small ones these days to have some sort of community service. We can be thinking in terms of data science and statistics for what that community service becomes.
Thank you both for those great comments. We're going to follow up some more on some of them. But first, we have a commercial break because I'm excited to report, Donna, that we have a new sponsor to share with our listeners, virtualwinningteam.com. Is your favorite sports team really hard to root for? Do they disappoint you year after year? VirtualWinningTeam.com has the answer for you. We at Practical Significance like to try out the products before we accept a sponsor, so I tried VirtualWinningTeam.com for a month. I simply subscribed, indicated my favorite team, the Kansas City Royals, and voila! My news feed each day was filled with news of the Royals' winning streak, their stunning comeback to make the playoffs, even more stunning because they had been mathematically eliminated before I subscribed, and eventually their crowning as 2021 World Series champions. The news is so realistic and so complete, you actually begin to believe it really happened. Add the social media feature, and your Twitter feed lights up with great news about your favorite team. VirtualWinningTeam.com is produced using the same tested and proven technology that allows the internet to provide people the news they want to hear rather than the actual news. So remember, use virtualwinningteam.com to end your hometown team blues. And don't forget to use our code FAKEOUT to get a discount on your first month's made-up news. So we welcome them as a sponsor and we turn back to our guests. So I'm going to ask both of you, and I'll start with Davina. Following up on Donna's question about tips, you have to juggle professional responsibilities, personal responsibilities, and these challenging service projects that you've talked about. So this clearly requires some organizational skill. What tips could you share with our podcast listeners about staying organized in the midst of all that?
Thanks, Ron. This is actually a really interesting question for me, as you know, because for the first time this summer, I've had some more personal curveballs than I anticipated having, and I've actually had to put a lot of these strategies to the test. I think one way that I've been really managing a lot of these competing obligations, we'll all have family obligations, we'll all have professional and volunteer obligations, in addition to all of this other work. I also serve on the board of directors for several NGOs and companies. So it is quite a demand on my time. I would say that I probably am overly connected to my phone, so I'm probably too accessible. But I do find that I become more efficient when I schedule blocks of time to really address and to give my singular focus to things. And often that means that I end up spending less time overall doing these things. So I think that's probably a really great way to do this, is to try to think about how you rank your priorities to make sure that when you are with your friends and family, that you do treat that also as a priority. I think having really healthy downtime where you're disconnected from the many obligations we have is critical. And I think also if something happens that requires you to be less accessible or to be able to take a step back, I found that if you're honest with your colleagues about what kinds of priorities and competing challenges you might be facing, that most people have also been there and can be very sympathetic. So I would just say that being openly communicative, scheduling time blocks, and then making sure that you are frequently reassessing your priorities on even like a day-to-day basis is probably going to be the best way to manage all of those challenges.
That's fantastic. I think about that blocking time for specific projects thing a lot and becoming singular in focus. And I'm going to try to take that advice to heart because I feel like I drop the ball on that frequently. It's too easy to be thinking about something and then see that email has come in or that you get a text message. And I'm going to follow that advice. Thank you, Davina. David?
One of the things I found is that being able to plan your time, being able to block it out and to be more efficient, this is a skill, just like any other skills. We learn statistics, we learn how to produce different kinds of models, we learn how to clean data. Just the same, we need to learn how to manage our time. And increasingly, we're going to see more and more of this. It's more on the individuals to be able to balance these kinds of things. And it's simply a skill that we need to learn. And it's worth the investment to take some classes, maybe read some books or see some videos, and to hone that skill to create a better schedule. With that, I have to go to the old analogy some of you will have heard. Take a jar, you fill it full of rocks, big chunks of rock, and the person doing this is his demonstration in a business class. The question is the jar full? And the student say yes, but then the instructor adds some small rocks. Is it full? Yes. And then the add some little tiny gravel, pea gravel, and shakes it in, and that works its way in between the cracks. And the students are asked if it's full. They've caught on by now. They say, no, it's not full. They don't know what's next. And then he adds some sand. And then he says, is it full? And they think it is. And then he adds some water. The moral of the story is put the big rocks in first. That means your family, your relationships. These are the things that have to come first. It means doing a good job and working hard, but not falling down on self-care or giving yourself some rest. You're not going to accomplish anything if you're in the hospital or worse, or just simply exhausted. Put the big rocks in first. Learn some project management skills. I have to admit that I'm not necessarily the best person for doing this. People ask me how I get it all done. One of the nice things about the particular model that I happen to have with piecework is we break up projects into tiny little pieces and then hand them out to individual volunteers. That's why we call it crowdsourcing. But instead of crowdsourcing dollars, and we all know how that works, instead we're crowdsourcing analysts' time. Think about how much time you have for volunteering and make sure that you are able to donate that time and then follow through on it. So it's important to be able to have dedicated time for service. It's one of those big rocks, I would suggest. I think it needs to be normative, an ordinary part of any analytic career. Different people are going to play that out in different ways. It'll manifest itself with different tools, different activities. But I would suggest that giving back to the community and using our science to do it is one of those big rocks.
David, thanks so much for that. I'm going to have that visual for the rest of the day, and I'm going to try to actually implement it in my planning. And then I hope people will tweet at us and tell us what their big rocks are, right? I think that's such a great story. Well, of course, we enjoy these conversations very much, especially because we get to hear from folks why they value being members of the ASA. And so, David, I'll start with you, and I wonder if you can share with us some of your ASA highlights.
The ASA highlight is things like this. It's having the opportunity to meet and to work with some absolutely talented, brilliant, and caring people. I've worked with some other organizations in the past. I've never met an organization like the ASA with so many both very, very talented, but also very, very caring individuals. It's at the cross-section of those two things that our greatest good can be done. So I'm just delighted by having the chance to work with all of you and so many people like you. The other thing about the American Statistical Association is how it supports its members through resources, whether you're early career or a student or more mature or learning new skills, whatever avenue you or stage you of your career you happen to be in. The American Statistical Association has such good resources to support people, and it makes just a huge impact in a person's work, in the progress of your career. It creates opportunities to present, to share, to network, to hone your skills and share your work with others. And of course, in my case, I've had the wonderful opportunity to work with Megan Murphy and all the folks over at Amstat News to write the monthly column. Get involved. Get involved in the ASA. Maybe you're going to serve on a committee. Maybe you're going to be part of a conference like the wonderful Conference on Statistical Practice, where I play a small role. Maybe it's getting involved in your local chapter. You're going to get the most out of the ASA when we take some of our time to put into it, to let it help us in our career and in our lifelong journey of learning.
Well, David, I happen to know that your role in the Conference on Statistical Practice is a bit more than small. You've agreed to be the chair of the steering committee, but I'll just add to that shout out. CSP is coming up in February, so definitely encourage folks to think about attending CSP. And David might even take you out to dinner and talk with you more about PeaceWorks. Thanks so much for that. Davina, I'll turn it over to you.
Yes, thank you. Look, I think the ASA is an amazing community. For me, it's been pretty transformative. I think, you know, I don't want to brag on Ron too much because he's right here. But I mean, for me, he's been a big mentor throughout my early career. I think, especially as like a young woman in statistics, I feel really supported, visible by in our community. I think it's a really amazing group. I mean, it's not even just, you know, obviously our affiliate organizations that we're here talking about today, but then it's also the accreditation communities. It's also all of the learning communities that we have. Like, I just find this to be such a special group. And this is from someone who also has a lot to do with the Royal Statistical Society and other groups as well. I just think that we're very special.
Well, that is a wonderful comment to end our conversation. I want to thank Davina and David. It's been such a pleasure to talk with you about your work. A note to our listeners, we will add links to Statistics Without Borders and PeaceWorks in the show notes. I suspect that both Davina and David would welcome receiving an email or questions from you. And so with that, I will say thank you to our listeners and turn it over to my colleague, Ron, to end with the Practical Significance Top 10.
Thanks, Donna. And thanks again, David and Davina. As this is our November podcast, I thought it would be helpful to make some suggestions about the traditional Thanksgiving meal. Over the years, I've been bemused by the concept of turducken, which, as you probably know, consists of chicken stuffed into a duck, then stuffed into a turkey. So in case any of our Practical Significance podcast listeners need some ideas for what to serve alongside their turducken, we offer the top 10 oddly combined Thanksgiving side dishes. So number 10, mac and peas. Number 9, candied spam. Number 8, collie broccatatos. Number 7, garlic mashed asparagus. Number 6, glazed Brussels sprout mushroom onion casserole. Number 5, green bean pudding. Oh, that sounds great. Number 4, French onion tart. Number 3, cranberry soup. Number 2, spinach bread stuffing. And the number 1, oddly combined Thanksgiving side, pump kale pie. So that's it for the November episode of Practical Significance. We thank you for listening, and look forward to joining you next month.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Practical Significance, the podcast of the American Statistical Association. A new episode will be coming your way next month from AmpStat News, the ASA's monthly membership magazine.